Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. Just type the words Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now stay tuned for the teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. To Catch an Angel is the title of a book written by the late Robert Russell. It's the autobiography of a blind man who lived alone on an island in the middle of the river. And in spite of his blindness, he went rowing on that river almost every day. He did it by means of a fairly simple system. He attached a bell with a timer on it to the end of the dock. That bell rang every 30 seconds, so Robert could row up and down the river, and every 30 seconds he could judge his distance by the sound of the bell. When he was finished rowing for the day, he'd find his way home by the means of that bell. He explained it like this: "The river lies before me, a constant invitation, a constant challenge, and my bell is the thread of sound along which I return to my quiet base." You know, friend, life is like a great river. God calls us to venture out on it where there's danger and excitement. But our security is in the bell, which is the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself. I like that analogy. Our security is in the bell if we hear it and follow it. But if we ignore it, or if there's too much other noise so we can't hear the bell, we will be lost. Not only are our individual lives like a river, so is the broad stream of humanity. And as our individual lives are finite, so is the stream of humanity. God's Word clearly teaches us He will bring human history to His predetermined climax, and He will do it in His timing. Ever since the beginning of time, people have had questions about the conclusion of time and humanity as we know them. But I must say, today, we're closer to that climax than at any other time in history. In our study of Luke's Gospel, we've come to chapter 21. In the opening verses of this chapter, Jesus was observing the people in the temple placing their offerings in the boxes that were designated for those gifts. He noted the large gifts of the wealthy, and then he contrasted them with the tiny, tiny amount that was given by a poor widow. After observing that, he said this: "She put in more than all the wealthy givers, because they gave out of their abundance. She put in everything she had." Now, during our study of those verses, I mentioned Alfred Edersheim's report that during the time of the Roman leaders Pompey and Crassus, the temple treasury, after it lavishly defrayed every possible expenditure, still contained the equivalent of nearly $500,000. And the vessels of the temple were valued at about 2 million pounds sterling. That's somewhere between $4 and $5 million in today's currency. But you know something? The beauty and magnificence of that temple masked a religious system that was hollow and rotting on the inside. It was a system that was ripe for judgment. And so our text today brings us to Jesus' prediction of future events. His teaching is in response to some observations and questions from his disciples. I've titled this teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. And I invite you to listen carefully as I read a rather lengthy text, Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 28. That's Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 28. Listen carefully as I read the Word of God. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time has drawn near.' Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all the things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." In this text, Jesus provides several clear indicators that will precede the coming of the Son of Man. And many of these indicators are as pertinent today as they were when Jesus spoke these words. The first indicator I see is spiritual deception. Our text begins with Jesus' disciples remarking to him about the beauty and the ornamentation of the temple. The temple was one of the great wonders of the ancient world. You probably remember that Solomon's temple had been destroyed in 586 BC by the conquering Babylonians. The second temple was built by Zerubbabel and dedicated in 515 BC. So this temple that was standing during the life and ministry of Jesus had stood for approximately 545 years, and it had been enlarged and beautified by Herod the Great and by others over a period spanning about 80 years. And the temple complex itself was huge. It encompassed about 35 acres. Some of the single stones in the walls ranged in size from 20 to 40 feet in length. And individual stones weighed up to 300 tons. Imagine that. No other temple in the ancient world was as magnificent as the temple in Jerusalem. Massive columns of the portico were of marble. They were more than 40 feet high, and there were scores of them. The porches of the temple were adorned with many votive offerings. We're told Herod the Great had donated golden vines with bunches of grapes, and those bunches of grapes were as large as a man. There were also large golden pitchers that had been given by Augustus. Most of the gates in the temple complex were gilded with gold, and there was lavish gilding throughout the entire structure. We're told the interior of the Holy of Holies was awash with gold. History also tells us that after the sacking of Jerusalem in 70 AD, there was so much plundered gold on the Assyrian market that the value of that precious metal fell by half. Why is it important for us to know these things? Well, because the outward beauty and ornamentation of that temple marked a tragic reality, a spiritually bankrupt religion that focused on outward appearance rather than on inward holiness. It was deception on a massive scale. You know, friend, I'm convinced we have some of that in the church today. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:13 that kind of deception will only grow worse as we approach the end of the age. Now, in response to the disciples' exclamations about the grandeur of the temple, Jesus made what must have been to them a very shocking statement. He said, "The day will come when these things you are looking at will be completely destroyed. Not one stone will be left on top of another." In just a few short decades, the Roman general Titus would order the Temple Mount and the whole city dug up and destroyed. The entire temple complex was leveled. Only a few retaining walls were left standing. One of them we know today as the Western Wall, or sometimes referred to as the Wailing Wall. Can you imagine the shock this prediction must have been to the 12, especially in light of the fact that they had just witnessed Jesus' triumphal entry into the city? You see, the Jewish people had an understanding of eschatology, that is, they had a view of how Messiah would come and set up his kingdom. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Just type in Hope for Today in the search bar and you'll find the available teaching. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Coming of the Son of Man. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.